OREA Owen Dillon Nina, OREA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel, and OREA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Roland Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. Our text number is open to you now after another busy weekend of sport. It's 083 311 3311. That number works for WhatsApp messages as well, 083 311 3311 if you prefer Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at TipFM Sport if you want to contact the show. We'd love to hear from you later in tonight's show. We will be looking back on our under-20s win in Rathkeel on Friday night. We'll also be looking forward indeed to the game against Waterford in Dungarvan this coming Friday night. We'll be looking back on underage football in Tip with Michael Dundon, and of course the big news from a soccer point of view was the provincial title. Another provincial title for St Michael's, their 10th in all. Nobody has won the Munster Junior Cup more frequently than St Michael's. They've won it with a 2-1 scoreline over Villa of Waterford. We'll have a lot on that later on tonight's show. But we're going to start with Camogie tonight because Tipperary finally ended a famine of sorts. It's gone back all the way to 2004, believe it or not. That's 20 years since Tipperary last won a national title. And it was a nervy affair. Tipperary 1-13, Galway 15 points was the final score. Dennis Kelly, the Camogie manager, is on the line. Dennis, how are you? And congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ronan. Yeah, look, it's great to be out the other side of it as well. We had a bit of a roller coaster yesterday in the match, but we're thrilled not to get the win, and it sets up nicely heading for championship.
I don't like to single any one player out, but I'm going to break that tradition because I do think we have to mention Mary Ryan of Moneygall, who joined the panel in 2005 and is playing in her 20th year in the blue and gold and finally wins a national medal. And you don't always get what you deserve in sport, but I think Mary Ryan got what she deserved yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Mary has been a trooper throughout the years, and she showed great determination, persistence to stay at it, because times were tough there, and she was on teams when, probably some years they had the chance maybe of winning things and that. And I was thrilled to see her yesterday. She was, she got the biggest cheer of the day, I think, when she lifted the cup. And just to see her there with her mum and dad, they go to every match. They've gone to every match for the last 20-odd years and that. And, to see her embrace them there on the steps of the Hogan Stand was something special. So, delighted for Mary, delighted for all the panel, but, especially for Mary, she's put so much time into it.
Yeah, no, delighted for her. And also for the girls who have had and have known real heartache and real disappointment and semi-finals and final defeats in the past, and they've shipped a couple of body blows over the last few years, and that presumably makes for a strong dressing room.
Exactly. Look, the dressing room is full of character, and the serious leaders developing all the time, and they're getting better all the time. But they've took a few heavy hits, and it takes a bit of courage to come back year on year, and I think that they were paid off yesterday for their persistence and for their character, and we're delighted for them. Really, they've put in some shifts, from Saturday year there, and we're just thrilled.
I don't know how much you enjoyed the game. It was a nervy affair, but if you were able to reflect on it as a whole 60 minutes, it was really good stuff. It was exciting stuff, and it was high energy. And Tip and Galway both brought high energy to that. The tackling, tactically. We'll come to the tactics in a minute, but the simple things like hustling and harrying and not giving the Galway girls time in possession, that must have pleased you.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been a big part of what we've been trying to bring to the team from the start of the year. So the work rate has been a huge thing for us. And we were delighted with that. Like, the intensity was probably up at a championship level there yesterday. The players got no time in the ball. If you missed your touch, you were swallowed up. So, it's great preparation for championship, really. But, again, our work rate was off the charts there at times, and so was Galway's. And, it made for a real interesting game. And it was, you knew well that it was going to go down to maybe a one score at the end, if even. And we could have easily ended up with a replay,
Oh, yeah, we'll come to that in due course. But the opening salvo from Galway, did they go 6 points to no score up at one stage and had goal opportunities? It could have been a messy opening 10 minutes. And it took a while for the girls to settle. Nerves, I mean, they're an experienced team, but Crow Park is Crow Park.
Yeah, exactly. I think nerves and maybe a final. You know, we haven't been in a final in Clopair. We've played quarterfinals, semifinals, and that. But, you know, a final takes on a life of its own. So it did take us a while to settle. I suppose the first few minutes weren't bad, but then we kind of Galway took over. We hit a lot of ball into their sweeper, and, you know, that was killing us, really. And I suppose after 20 minutes, we kind of decided on the sideline we had to make some bit of a move just to get back in the game, because you know, we knew if we let Galway in with a big lead at half-time, they'd be very hard to chase down. So, you know, we made a couple of changes, and they happened to work on the day. Some days they work, some days they don't, but thankfully they worked yesterday, and that got us kind of back in the game. It was great to be going in just 1 point down at half time, having probably been dominated for large periods of the first half.
Yeah, and you know, some of the tactical changes, bringing on Clodagh for McIntyre, like those kind of tactical changes might raise a few eyebrows, but you knew what you were doing and what you were trying to rearrange.
Yeah, look, there's just some of the girls, a couple of the girls had a little bit of an off day, and that can happen, you know, you just can't let space for that. But we had good experience on the bench. Some of these girls, you know, the girls coming in were probably girls that would have been normally starting. So we had full confidence in them to come in and do a job. And like Julianne Burke came in, I think she won her first ball. And from there on, it kind of snowballed. And I think the team grew in confidence when they seen the likes of a leader like Julianne, you know, coming on and you know, showing great determination. Mm. So we grew in confidence from there on, and, you know, we probably didn't want a half-time whistle to go.
I think with about 8 or 9 minutes to go, we extended our lead out to 4 points. Karen had got a goal at this stage, which really had kind of put us in the ascendancy. I didn't think it was going to just trickle out, you know, the game would fizzle out at that stage, because you knew Galway were coming back into it. But their sweeper mopped up an awful lot of ball in that last 8 minutes, which allowed them to build a platform to get those scores and bring it back almost to parity.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we dropped a little bit deep there, I suppose, maybe trying to protect the lead, really, just some tactical from our end. But it just, I suppose, that's what happened, you know. And we had to try and change something on our half-hour line, especially. We weren't winning enough ball, and we started hitting the bat down the middle on top of the sweeper and that. So we fell back into old habits. But again, I was delighted the way the girls fought really hard, you know, and I suppose, like Sir Corinne Blair popped up there for the score at the end. Like, she probably plays it forwards for her club, so that was a help. But you know, she didn't hesitate, like, popped it over. So we needed that kind of leadership all over the field, and it was brilliant to see it. Yesterday.
Yeah, it's always when you see a cornerback coming up to get the winning score, it really is one of those kind of grandstand finishes. They did have a free though at the end. I'm sure your heart was in your mouth, because, you know, you've got a congested enough calendar coming along the lines. I'm not so sure what your thoughts would have been on a replay. Thankfully, we don't have to have that discussion. But that was, you know, Galway had ample opportunities to tie that game.
They did, and it was what we felt. The thing was maybe a little bit soft at the end, but, you know, when it's a 1 point game, a referee will often maybe just give the easy decision maybe to try and level it up. But again, look, it was a tough one. If someone was looking down, as I said, the rain came down and the wind blew all over the place when the free was being taken. And I think Julianne Burke was in front of it, and she was dancing in front of it. I think I was dancing behind the free taker. We were just hoping, crossing our fingers and toes, and hoping it wouldn't go over. And thankfully it didn't, you know.
Yeah. As well as that, though, from a Tipperary point of view, having a free taker of Eilish McGrath's capability, accuracy, and her ability as well, I think, to, you know, not unusually in the Camogie game, but relatively unusually, she's able to take frees from inside her own half, and they're going over with plenty to spare.
Yeah, Emer is a huge striker. You know, she's a real stylish player, you know, and look, she at one stage there, I think she could have been close to her own 65, and she kind of looked out at me, and I just pointed at the post, but I was hopeful more than confident in it. But she sailed it through the over the black spot, like, no problem. So yeah, it's brilliant to have a striker like that, because, you know, these games we've been looking at, you know, these tight games, the top four or five teams in the country, and they always come down to maybe one score. So, you know, everything needs to go your way. We got a bit of rub in the green, I suppose, yesterday, but them frees are vital, you know, if you're going to win.
I think it's fair, like, you sometimes make your own luck. And the Hawkeye decision got a bit of airtime. That's out of your control. Hawkeye is what it is. And Tip, we don't have to remember to 2014 to realise Hawkeye hasn't always been our friend, but we'll take it. I seem to remember as well an All-Ireland semi-final against Wexford when was it Barry Hogan got pulled for something similar. And I often wondered at the time whether or not Hawkeye had the capability to make an adjudication on such a thing. But look, do you know what? The final score was 113 to 15 points. That's the end of that.
Exactly, yeah. You know, look at we came out the wrong side of it a few times, so it was nice to get the advantage yesterday. But, overall, look, it is great to get the win. But we're thrilled. Like, you know, with the county board have put a huge effort in behind the scenes, and we're delighted. They're giving us great support, and, you know, female sport is coming on in leaps and bounds every year. And our sponsors, Alpha Drives as well, have put huge support behind us. But, and for everyone in the county, we'd probably be hoping now, you know, that the team like this that are showing character in their displays, that more people, you know, loads of messages flooded in yesterday. But we'd love to see more people at the games now and driving us on into the championship.
Spirit is something you can't go and coach. You can't go out and buy it. It just has to be instilled in the team. And I think from what I'm hearing from you, the team are instilling that themselves, that they're a self-led group. To a certain extent, I know that you're the manager and you've got your coaching people around you, but it's a lot of that motivation is coming from within.
It is, yeah. Look at it; they want their winners, you know, and they're just they have failed maybe over the past few years, but like they're a serious bunch. We challenge them; they challenge us back. We have a great relationship that way. That we're able to work together to figure things out, and you know, I suppose this year of all years, we're getting great. You know, response from them, and you know they're figuring out things themselves on the pitch as well, and that's important because there's only so much we can do on the sideline. But when the ball is thrown in, they have to figure things out for themselves as well, and they're getting a lot better at that. And it's great to see them develop into the players they're developing into.
And finally, a lot of the girls have Munster medals, but this is a national title, our first one in 20 years. It does change the dynamic in that conversation.
Yeah, it is. It's great now. You know, the majority of the panel now have two medals in a short space of time. And, you know, we have Munster coming up in maybe 2-3 weeks' time. And then, hopefully that'll go well. And if we have the All-Ireland series then coming up after that. So, you know, there's just, as we say, we've always said at the start of the year, there's three titles on the line. We've one box ticked and we've two left to go. So we'll take it step by step. We'll give a good focus now onto the Munster Championship. And then after that, we'll have a crack at the All-Ireland series and we'll see where it takes us. But I suppose we have to keep our feet on the ground as well. We can't get carried away. It's a league title, but, you know, there's more important games to come probably. And we can't get carried away with ourselves, you know, so that is vital too.
Dennis, a lot of texts of congratulations coming in. I'll come to them in due course. But there's a lot of... A lot of admiration for what was achieved yesterday. So please bottle that, take it with you, and we'll talk again as the season progresses. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Ronan.
Not at all. Take care. That's Dennis Kelly, the manager of the Tipperary Camogie team, joining us there. Just have a quick word with our analyst from yesterday, Geraldine Canans, on the line. How are you, Geraldine?
How you doing, Ronan?
I suppose Dennis has gone through the match there for us, but the question I'd like to put to you is, what does this do for them? After all that disappointment, and you've been on this show so many times, unfortunately, and we've had a recurring conversation, and I think the one that I think perhaps hurt the most was the Waterford defeat in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. So to have a different conversation tonight must be very pleasing for you, but I want to know what you think this will do for that group.
Oh, I think it's a huge monkey off the back, really, because I know winning the Munster Championship last year was big and, you know, we said it was great to finally win a bit of silverware. But I suppose in the back of my mind, and I'm sure in the players' mind, was the fact that we still didn't beat a Cork, Kilkenny or Galway. You know, Waterford had beaten Cork and then we had done us a favour and then we beat Waterford to win that Munster title. So look, we finally got, you know, a scalp off a top three team really in a crucial game. I know we had beaten them maybe in league or group games, but this was a do or die, I suppose, match. It was a knockout, it was a final, it was in Croke Park. You know, we hadn't done that previously. And, you know, I really feel if we had lost yesterday, it would have knocked us back, you know, a good bit. Like, and, you know, we'd be trying to say, oh, it's not the be-all, end-all. But I really think it would have been a big blow to confidence. So now it's the absolute opposite effect. It's a massive boost for the group. They can go with real confidence now into the Munster Championship and All-Ireland Series. And I think also, I think Dennis learned so much yesterday. And in fairness, Dennis and the management team, you know, tactics spot on, you know, changes that they made, you know, switching, switching Karen in full forward when Galway's full back went off injured and stuff like that. All those little tweaks and changes really did work. And, you know, I thought the team showed great character. Galway threw everything at him at the end. And just the fitness as well of the team, you know, you have to applaud, you know, all the coaching staff. The way, like, Queen Blair could come up in the 58 minute from corner back and put a ball over the bar, you know, when she must have had, the tank must have been nearly empty at that stage. So, look, there was loads of positives. And I suppose, you know, I think it's a pat on the back for the management and the team as well, that they got so much right yesterday, and yet there's still things to work on. There's lots of people fighting for places, and you know, I think it's a huge win. I know it's a league title, and like if Galway had won, something meant for them, but definitely for this group, for the county, everything, it's massive. I thought yesterday.
And what struck me, I think, in the clutch moments, going down the stretch, you know, when we were 4 points up and they get it back to within one. I thought that the energy that Tip girls brought to make sure that every Galway possession was harried, hassled, hurried, and that takes a huge amount of energy when there's a train coming down the tracks at you. And I thought that was hugely commendable. It was almost as if they were saying, "This is ours. We're not leaving without a cup today."
Yeah, definitely, and I suppose that's where the physical fitness comes in, but probably even more so the psychological. Like you said, they weren't going to leave. And I know in one of the interviews, Dennis mentioned that, you know, the text that got into the room from one of the players that we're a family and we're going to go up and win this as a family. Do you know, I think there's a real togetherness, and that was shown on the field yesterday. Like you said, when they're back to the wall, when they're under pressure, they stay going and stuck to the game plan. You know, I suppose a lot of us were worried and starting to panic when it was 8-2, but I don't think the girls did out in the field either. So look, they had a game plan, they went in, and there's a great togetherness there. And I just thought really they were really tuned in and focused on the task on hand. And look, we had a bit of a rub with green as well, and something that I think we haven't had in recent games, in recent years, and you won't win anything without that as well, so we'll take all that as well.
Yeah, and it bounces us into a Munster Championship, but perhaps more importantly, it bounces us into an All-Ireland Series, which I'm not suggesting for a moment that the Munster Championship isn't important, but that has to be now the catalyst for getting your championship team right and ready and ironing out those little kinks that you saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I still think we probably need to strengthen up the panel as well. You know, we just get more players maybe. I mean, he'd probably use maybe Munster maybe to get a bit more game time into some of the players and try to get confidence back into some players. And there's still girls come back from injury, because I was conscious there of the impact, you know, Galway had coming off the bench, the likes of Niamh Kilkenny and Niamh Mannan. Like, they're obviously going to start probably come championship. So it just makes that, it makes their championship team very strong, you know, when you're looking at down the line. And I say Dennis will be look, you know, he probably finish his team. The subs were used, but I still think, you know, it's a long championship. And there's a lot of games. And I thought maybe last year against, when it came down to against Waterford, you know, some players maybe had lost a bit of form coming into the game and were probably struggling a bit in strength. Have enough panel, I suppose, faced into an All-Ireland Series. So I'm sure he's still going to want, like, loads of competition amongst the panel of all the, you know, number 30 pushing for to get up further up the field in the subs. And, you know, the girls in the 20s want to be in the first 20, you know, this kind of thing. So those for chip, and you know, look, it's much easier to do all those things when you have a league title in the bag. And I'm sure the girls will only be buzzing to get back training this week and start working on that.
Anytime somebody wearing blue and gold climbs the steps in Croke Park, lifts a trophy, it's worth spending a lot of time discussing and reflecting on, and it's really, really important that we treasure it, and the girls treasure it. I hope they enjoyed themselves last night, because that's a long time coming. There's a lot of pent up celebrating needed to be doing last night, I'd say, after all the disappointment in recent years.
Yeah, certainly it is, and I'm sure there's no better group to do that too. You know, I remember someone commented after they won the Munster final last year, they didn't nearly know what to do at first. You know, it took them a while to start, and that win would have helped them know what to do yesterday. Yeah, and I'm sure they enjoyed themselves, and really please God to be more days to come like that.
Well, look, we look forward to analysing them with you, Geraldine, because it's a good day. And thanks indeed for all your time. And I'm just so thrilled that we've had a different conversation after a final or a semi-final in the course of the last number of years. We've had this conversation on Tip FM's Extra Time. So thanks for your time, Ger.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks a million, Ronan.
Take care. Good luck and thanks. Geraldine Canan with us there and lots of texts coming in. Delighted for the Camogie ladies and the mentors. Great Tipperary spirit on the field yesterday throughout the game. Brings back memories of 1984, says this texter who happened to be involved with the Tipperary senior Camogie team in the All-Ireland final against Dublin. Unfortunately, we lost, says the texter. But I'm glad for your memories of 1984. Congratulations to the girls on a great win, but can you please comment on the small crowd at the game? Do fans not want to travel to Dublin anymore? Is it too expensive? Asks a Nina listener. I suppose it is. It is an issue. There's no two ways about it. Like any family day out at Croke Park is going to leave a fair dent in your wallet at the end of it. And, you know, it was a double header then with the football afterwards. And people weren't going to stay on for that. I wouldn't have thought if you're a Camogie fan watching Dublin steamroller another Leinster Championship team out of the way. It wasn't exactly something that was going to keep your pulse racing. Somebody else asks, is it okay to dry the ball and hurley before a free is taken? I'm sure it is. I don't think there's any rule against it, but I'm open to correction. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. And on another point, somebody says, can somebody explain why nearly 60 people have gone on warm weather training camp when there's only a 35-man panel plus management? Who's paying for all this? The Tipperary football team must feel very left out. Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know why. I'm not doubting you. I don't know why there's 60 people on a plane off to warm weather training, but the senior hurling panel constitutes 35 members of that travelling party. I can't comment on what other members of the travelling party are made up with. Our text number is 083 311 3311. We'll be back in a minute.
Extra Time on Tip FM. Brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Owen Dillon Nina. REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel. And REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel. Multi-award winning wedding specialists with state-of-the-art leisure facilities and spa with food served daily.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
Yeah, if you have a nomination for a sports star that you've seen in the course of this month of April, just send a nomination to sportstar@tipfm.com. That's sportstar@tipfm.com. That's the email address to use, and this is in association with the Talbot Hotel in Clonmel and John Quirk Jewellers in Care. Turning our attention to underage hurling, because our under-20s got their Munster Championship campaign off to a flying start with a really good win in Rathkeel over Limerick on Friday night. Brendan Cummins spoke to the assembled media afterwards and he was pleased with his side's performance.
Yeah, happy. The lads ran themselves into the ground. I mean, you saw in the finish we had guys falling all over the place and we have a number of injuries and Paddy was in hard luck, just merely mistimed a tackle. And so we'll have to see now tomorrow what way the bodies are on Monday and Tuesday. And so, yeah, it's very pleasing to come down here and get a win like that, yeah.
Becky, I suppose expected you were slow to get to the pitch of the game. Their game stood to them, but when it turned into a game, like, you were by far the better team.
Yeah, it took us a bit of time, all right, to get into it. I'm not sure about the by far the better team pace now, but when they got the goal there, I was happiest that we kind of won the next puck out. And we'd said we were going to come up against adversity and what was our reaction going to be. And I was pleased tonight that it was really strong. And win, lose, or draw, once we did that, we said in the finish we'd see what the scoreboard looked like. And thankfully, it was in our favour.
Yeah, and I suppose if I've heard a bit of team, like, you took away their long puck out and you also took, you pressurised their short. Like, you really turned them into sort of a panic mode in the first half.
Yeah, it was hard for them with the wind, you know, when they couldn't get the ball down the middle channel to 11. It certainly gave us a better platform to play and try to get them around the edges was the plan, and that worked to a certain extent. But fair to Limerick in the finish, it was nearly impossible for them, because when you go hitting balls in long with 7 or 8 minutes left, you're chasing it, like, and it's always a backman's ball when that happens. So the back stood up well. Owen Horgan was fantastic in the goals again tonight. So overall, from back to front, it was a good night out, but it's over now. Mm-hmm. And it's finished, and now we go to Dungarvan. That's the most important game in the world now for us.
Yeah. Just a lot of talk about the tactics and things like that, but you must be delighted with the work rate of the lads. A lot of the good stuff came from the penalty, came from just work rate from Darren McCarthy. Sending Butler's goal was the same. That must be just real hearty stuff for a manager to see the team like that out in the field.
It is, and like, you can talk tactics all you like. Hurling is about X factor, and it's about what you can get out of yourself. And like, a lot of the players there had to be carried off the pitch, like I said, like, and that's when you know, like, that the group have a good good amount of buy-in. But like I said, we have to get fellas back, and we have to do that again, and we have to do, we have a couple of weeks off, then we have to do it again and do it again. And that's the challenge for my management team, to get the lads ready to perform again. And it might not be as well the next day, but we just have to find a way, because I know Watford are going to be hurting after what happened against Cork the last day, and they are going to be all in. Ken McGrath is a very proud Watford man, Kevin Moran and the boys on the line, and Dan, so they are going to be all fired up. So we're very clear about what's going to happen next Friday night again.
The team selected was a young one on paper in terms of a lot of lads underage next year. I think 10 of the minor team 2 years ago. Is that just like a special group of players that's coming through, or what was your kind of opinion on that?
Look, they're fine. Not in the special category maybe just yet. Like, we have to win a couple of more games and get further down the line before we start jumping any guns like that. But they certainly have a great work ethic. And I think James would have seen that when he had those young fellas. Like, in the last 5 or 6 minutes of all their matches in under 17, they were up against it, maybe a couple of points down against Galway, and found a way. So that is still within the group. And you're right, they're still young. We have 12 players tonight that are underage again next year. But the only thing is, I suppose, if you're good enough, you're old enough, and that's the mentality those young men have.
Yeah, and just in terms of players, like, despite lads that are underage again next year, the lads that are up to age, the entire half back line there really set the platform for the win. They're outstanding.
Yeah, they did. They were fantastic. Like, Ben was very, very good, and Rowan and Jack Collins. You know, you need that strength around the half back line, and lads on the age, they kind of do all the heavy lifting for all the world, you know what I mean? That when it kind of goes against you a bit, Jack Collins was over on the wing there, breaking tackles, handing it out to Adam Daly, do you know what I mean? Adam didn't have to go into the row for all the world. So those things are great leadership. Owen Craddock came on again tonight, and not only that, like, we've lads on the panel in the background who didn't get a spin tonight, and we'll train with those lads again during the week, and they might have an opportunity based on the amount of injuries picked up here tonight.
Let's come out the first day out and get a win. And like, there was a lot of whispers beforehand of bad challenge match results, and I suppose an infamous maybe big scoreline against you, against the seniors. Like, was any of that used in the build up to sort of get the guys really tuned in, or what do you make of what?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, when those lads go home, they meet their families, and that's the most important feedback they're going to get. Whatever goes on anywhere else in the world is noise, and it doesn't matter to those young men. And I give 20 years of my life playing with Tip. I know what it's like. They know what it's like. It's just the way it is. When I'm above in the stand watching the under-17s last night, I was shouting and roaring. Do you know what I mean? That is it. It's all noise. And it doesn't matter, because 1 minute, if we lost tonight, they jump on us. If we win tonight, we're grand for another week, and we have to perform again to avoid people jumping us. And that is the way and the law of the jungle, and there's no problem with that. And those young men in there don't mind that either. They're fine with all that.
Yeah, I suppose it proves that Tipperary still have heard, as the miners are showing it. Like, for all the maybe the pessimism that can be there after a bad year, it doesn't take long for maybe green shoots to start coming again.
No, it doesn't, you know. But like, one performance in Rakhine now is fine, like, you know. But it's not certainly going to be put out as the flagship saviour of Tipperary hurling in any manner of means. We have to have consistency if we're going to get out of this. If we lose the next two matches tonight, we'll have meant absolutely nothing, you know. We'll be out in our ears. So our focus now will be to get the bodies right, which we'll do, see how we are when we go back training. And maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday night, we might get back together again and see how we go, and then we'll prepare for Watford.
That's Brendan Cumin speaking to the media after that win in Rathkeel on Friday night. One of the media asking questions is on the line, Shane Brophy. How are you, Shane?
Hi, Ron.
It was an impressive win, because you go to rural Limerick and take on the home side. It might be Kilmallock, it might be Rathkeel. These are hard places to go and win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the fact that Tip were coming in cold, Limerick had a game under their belt, even though it was a narrow defeat to Clare, but like, having that run out is always an advantage. And we probably saw that in the first 11 minutes when Limerick went into a 6-3 lead, and they were setting the tempo, they were on the front foot. But as soon as, I suppose, Tip settled, and we could see there was an awful lot of communication on the sideline with the management, just looking to get their defensive and midfield alignment in place. And once they did that, like, the Tip completely dominated up to half time. But I think it was a 1-9 to I think 2 points for the rest of the half. They completely dominated. Like, the way they used the ball, their physicality, particularly their work rate. I think that was the most eye catching thing for me on the night. Like, the hassle and hound of their hook and their block, and like, there was a real steel about that team. And there's no doubt that they completely out hurled Limerick. And like, when the game was a game, like, the Tip were sort of sat back on their lead towards the end, particularly after it went down to 14 men. But like when the game was a game, either side of half time, they were by far the better team.
You mentioned in your question to Brendan that the whispers that had gone around, and they weren't complimentary, and so perhaps that tempered expectation. But I don't know whether some of those whispers of poor performances and poor challenge match results had filtered into the dressing room, and there was a sense of, you know, we're better than what people say we are.
Absolutely. I know from I suppose your own Tip FM colleague Ken Hogan, he's always saying challenge matches are for learning rather than winning, and you can lose all the challenge matches you like as long as you win in championship. I think that was the key. And look, I suppose when you look on paper of what two Tip have, like they have an awful lot of guys who've won All Ireland minors, of guys who've won Hearty Cups with Cashel and with Nina. Like there's loads of talent there, and I think maybe it's sometimes within the Tip hurling supporter that can be very, very critical of what we have. Like we don't win every championship, we're always competitive when we go out. And look, I'm not saying this under 20 team is going to go on and win a championship this year, but I think they're certainly going to be in the conversation now, just on the element of their performance last Friday.
And I got a sense, and maybe I'm completely off on this, that there was a, you know, not that he was using this year to build for next year, but he was rewarding fellas who aren't up to age at the expense of fellas who were. And when the panel was trimmed, there was a lot of fellas who were decent, good hurlers, but because they were not guaranteed starters and because they were up to age, might have been let go, because he wants to give some of the other lads 2 years at this grade.
I think that there's probably an argument in that. If you feel that there's a guy with maybe extra potential and he could do it an extra year within the group, you probably go with that guy. And then, but like he also said that, I suppose if you're good enough, you're old enough. And I think that was certainly the case. Like I was looking at the team, and I would have thought at the 24, and I would have thought Gerald O'Dwyer was one of the more impactful players at club level last year, Borla and Duella, and he couldn't even get in the team. So like when you see that sort of a lineup, and there's a few guys missing, Robbie Ryan and Jimmy Ryan from Holy Cross, like there's a strong panel there. Joe Egan and Mike Archie Burris has to come back as well. So and I suppose that panel probably will be tested, as I think about four of the five subs Tip made last Friday were injury related. I think most of them were probably muscle related, so they should have cleared up in time for Waterford. But you just never know. Like I suppose the most dangerous time, most vulnerable time you are, is maybe after a win sometimes. And off the high of beating Limerick, I suppose there's no greater county than Waterford to maybe, and into Dungarvan next Friday to give you a good welcome. And like Waterford after losing, they're desperate for a win, so like Tip would have to be on their guard going down there.
And I look, the format, I think it's only the top two come out into a Munster final and then they progress into an All-Ireland series. So you could make an argument that this is almost knockout hurling for Waterford, albeit only in their second game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the top three. It's the top team goes to the final, and two and three meet the semi. So but yeah, if Waterford lose and Limerick have already lost two games, you would think Tip, Cork and Clare nearly are already gone through after two rounds of games. I think it would be important for Tipperary to go down there. And just to back up, I think if you're going to be a team that's going to win a championship, you can't go out with different mentalities every day. You've got to go down to Waterford with the same mentality they did in Tyrakeel last week, and go down and produce a professional performance as well. And like, I'm sure there was an element maybe of into the unknown for players and management, and now they know probably how well they played and how good they can be, and I'm sure they'll be keen to produce another good performance on Friday night.
There's a lot of our texters kind of very complimentary about the style of play of the under 20s, that it's not sort of aping the kind of what's happening at senior hurling, and that's pleasing a lot of people, I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think maybe that was probably feeding some way into the pessimism. I think it was a bit of a hangover from last year's under 20 campaign, where there was probably an element of maybe that team maybe overplaying the ball in the middle of the field and maybe not getting enough quick ball into the inside forwards. And definitely that definitely wasn't the case last weekend. You had Paddy McCormick and Senan Butler primarily playing inside and Darren McCarthy dropping out. So like there was always good quality ball in. But then Chip were always able to mix up the play too and get the likes of Rowan and Connolly and Cahill English and Oisin O'Donoghue in the wings, and they were very, very adept at scoring as well and delivering quality ball in as well. So look, from what we saw from last Friday, Tip do seem to have the ideal mix of maybe playing the old style and definitely you have to be adept at being capable of playing the new style as well when situations occur.
Yeah, no, it's a great grade, and like from what we've seen, Clare have a lot from last year, I think, and arguably, you know, I think they've 10 maybe. And we were just having a conversation there about, you know, fellas who aren't up to age and getting a second year into them. Clare have that. So what we're going to see from Clare will be a stronger Clare than what we saw last year.
Absolutely, and I suppose you have probably a good core of last year's Clare minor team that won the All-Ireland as well. So like Clare hurling is on a high at the moment. So look, I think I always find that the school's competitions are a great guide, and we've seen like Clare are going strong, and like we have to, the Tip are going strong too. Like, and I think it's like we have good players in this county. It's just to get in behind them and trust them and back them. Like we're all you can do is put out a team and hope that they win, perform and win on the day. There's no guarantees, but definitely from what we've seen so far, minor and under 20 so far in this championship, there have been very well prepared teams so far in the competition.
Yeah, I know. Glass half full, I think, is a brief summary of the points you're making. Shane, as always, thanks for your time tonight. We'll talk soon.
Cheers.
Thanks indeed. Shane Brophy of the Nina Guardian joining us there with his reflections on that really impressive win for the under-20s against Limerick on Friday night. Michael Dundon, Tipperary star fame, is on the line. How are you, Michael?
Oh, not so bad, Ronan.
Michael, just a quick kind of brief discussion about underage football in Tip, because there was grounds for optimism, I think, based on what we've seen so far. Having seen some of our underage teams at minor and under 20, and I know we lost to Cork in the last time out, your thoughts on what you're seeing?
Well, I'd have to say that it's encouraging what we're seeing at the moment. The minors had a very good win over Limerick in their opening game. Tip at senior level are struggling, as we all know. And part of the reason, I think, is that there was no great true flow of young players over the last good few years. And you only have to go back to the winning of that minor All-Ireland. And a lot of those guys were still part of the setup up to last year and that kind of thing. And there was very little coming through from the underage thing. And Tip's underage record, say, for the last 5-6 years hasn't been good. But last year the minors did fine. And this year they look to have the makings of a nice minor team. I saw them in the win over Limerick, and they were very impressive, particularly in the third quarter.
Impressed me was, you know, you're seeing clubs like Clonmelogue, who don't produce that many inter-county players. Turles Gales, was it, that young lad?
That's right, Dylan Cotter.
Dylan, that's him, yeah. What I find encouraging about that is, you know, clubs contributing to the Tipperary panel.
Yeah, and it's good to see that young lads. I mean, everybody accepts and will acknowledge that Tipperary would be regarded as a hurling county primarily. So if you have a good young lad and he's good at both hurling and football, well, the likelihood is that he'll throw his hat in with the hurlers, because the expectation would be there that he'd be more likely to have some success with the hurlers. But there are some very fine young footballers coming on, as we've seen in that minor match. And Dylan Cotter, as you mentioned, I think if I'm correct, he's the first chap from that club to play inter-county for Tipperary. Now, I could be wrong.
I've definitely heard that from other sources, Michael, so we'll go with it. It's a good story and it's great. You add Turles Gales to the list of clubs who've produced inter-county players.
And to something that, I mean, it gives the Gales, it gives them an old boost. Yeah. you know, in mid Tipperary, and encouraging young lads there that they will see, well, if you play with the Gaels, there's a future in it. I mean, I'd be sources myself, and most of the young lads tend to come our way, which we're very happy to have. But, I mean, it's good to see the other side also getting encouragement that way.
The under-20s then took on Cork last week, and they went down to Cork. But I'm just wondering, you know, we're playing against the likes of Limerick, Clare's, Waterford's, and then when you step up to the Waterford or to the Kerry's and the Cork's of this world, you know, how big a gulf is that still for us?
Well, I thought that match was in feathered, and Cork won his double scores, 14-7, and they were a good bit ahead of Tipperary. I thought Tip had come through the round robin part of it unbeaten, and were very impressive, and actually did play some grand football at times in it, but there were that step behind Cork, and I dare say Kerry would be in the same thing, and that Tip team now has to play. I think they're meeting Kerry next.
It's an unusual format because Tip and Clare have come out of the preliminary round.
Oh, it's their own robin. Yeah. Phase one, as they're calling
Phase
it. Yeah.
One, okay. And they now join the Kerry's and Cork's. But we've had it, you know, we've mentioned before the kind of, there was a period there after we got to an All-Ireland minor football final in 15. We're also in the minor hurling, as people will remember that year. But after that success of getting to an All-Ireland final, we didn't win an underage game, I think, for 5 years. Now, we've bucked that trend. In order to keep bucking that trend, you got to keep playing the Corks and Kerrys.
Well, you have to, and also you have to be doing the work on the ground to train and prepare to the level that's required to succeed in those grades. And I think that's the big thing to reach that standard. And you have to, you know, look at development squads and participating in the under-16 competitions and that sort of stuff to get guys accustomed to playing against the better teams at that level, and hopefully that they will benefit from it.
Yeah, I know. Generally, I think it's clear to say that there's some green shoots of revival in our football fortunes, particularly evident at underage level.
Well, we'd be hoping it because the senior has been a bit of a disaster so far this year. You know, I mean, in the league to finish kind of third from bottom and then in the championship to go out in the first round to Waterford.
But do you think that there needs to be some sort of I said on this show last week, a coalition of the will, of the willing, but like County Board need to kind of perhaps almost convene an emergency meeting to discuss football, because there's a lot of really good people doing really good work, and I'm not so sure they're feeling the support that they perhaps might. And maybe I'm not suggesting the County Board could do more, but they probably, if the shoe was on the other foot, I'm telling you now, there'd be crisis meetings.
You mean if it was hurling?
Yeah.
If hurling was, yeah. I'm sure there would. And as you said, there are a lot of good people doing a lot of hard work. But, like, to be fair to Tipperary at senior level this year, there was a lot of obstacles in as much as there were some players through injury weren't available. I mean, you were too, and you don't want to be making too much of it and a lot of them said, but Stephen O'Brien and Connor Sweeney, like, they're guys who would be automatically in any of the strong inter-county teams. And here are we with a limited panel, and we're denied, we're without the services of two of our best players. And then there were other players who, did, for their own good reasons, didn't make themselves available and what have you. And there was also the factor in it and that Tipperary were slow off the ground in terms of preparing for the league. And that was a contributory factor that before you know where you were after three matches, the team was going away from you. You know what I mean? And that was demoralising. So like in fairness to Paul Kelly and his team, they didn't have an easy hand to play with this year with the way things went. And at best, we are where we are. And at best, even if we had done better in the league, we would probably still be looking at Tarleton Cup competition anyway.
No, I think that's fair. That is a fair point. Michael, as always, thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome, Ronan.
Thanks indeed.
God bless.
God bless. That's Michael Dundon. Just he's been able to get to those games in Feathertown Park where I haven't been, unfortunately, because some of them are on Monday nights. And I'm otherwise occupied on a Monday night. But it's good to see the crowds as well. That's probably the point I should have made with Michael. Good crowds in Feathertown Park, like exceeding 1,000 people. And very often the senior footballers don't get crowds of that magnitude. Our text number is 083-311-3311. I'm really, really pleased to have a conversation with my next guest because I've all the time in the world for Johnny Cremins. He's on the line. How are you, Johnny?
Morning, how are you?
Many congratulations, Johnny. St. Michael's winning their 10th Munster Junior Cup, and they weren't favourites, but those of us who watch a bit of junior football would never back against St. Michael's in a final, in any final, but the bookies had Villa favourites. It must have been hugely pleasing for you.
Yeah, it was, Ronan, to be honest. It's a rare occasion St. Michael's going to any game not being favourites, so to go into yesterday's game and come up with the results, yes, it was just
Am I correct in saying that you've been involved, involved over three decades winning Munster Junior Cups?
Yeah.
Not wishing to age you now, Johnny.
No, and it was pointed out to me yesterday, to be honest. I won the first one in 2001, so again in 2011 and again yesterday. So, yeah, three decades. Probably not a stat I really wanted to know about. But, yeah.
Well, you didn't want it broadcast on the radio, but there you go, it's out there now. Yeah. John, it's really important to put this in context because I know the FAI is the Holy Grail and that's where clubs like St. Michael's set out their stall at the start of the year to, you know, to compete and be competitive and get to the latter stages in that. But there's nothing, a Munster Junior Cup is by no means a kind of a second rate prize or a kind of a consolation prize under any circumstances. It's nothing like it. It is a hugely prestigious competition. You've won it more times than anyone else. And I tell you what, there's an awful lot of clubs in Tipperary and in Munster take their hand off you to win it.
They would run, and as you say, to be fair, it's probably the second most prestigious competition that we enter every year. It's a huge competition, and you know, it's almost as difficult to win as the FAI now, given that, you know, in the latter stages of the FAI Junior Cup, it's primarily Munster teams. So it is difficult enough to win. We're really, really proud, to be honest with you. We're really, really proud to have won Munster Junior Cups, most of probably any team that has won. Delighted, yeah.
I should also point out, not wishing to pick any one player out, but again, for another second time tonight, I'll break that habit. Paul Breen has won 6 Munster Junior Cups. St. Michael's have 10 in total, and he has 6 of them. He's had a hell of a career in the stripes.
He has. And look, Breen was phenomenal. You know, he's been in and out of the team this year, to be honest. Between his age and a lot of injuries, he's kind of had an up and down season, but you know, when you can call on Paul Breen to go into the Munster Junior Cup final as a manager and a coach, you're a very happy person, to be honest.
Can I ask about the game itself? You took a 2-0 lead at half time. Reports I got suggested that you probably could have been even more further ahead. And when they got it back to 2-1, did you have a bit of the heebie-jeebies about it?
I did run it, to be honest. And look, Villa are a super side. And we always knew that at some period in the game, they were going to have, you know, that 20, 25 minutes spell where they get on top. It's all about managing that period. You know, in the big games, we probably felt we didn't manage that period that well in Watford, in the FAI game. So, we had spoke a lot about managing that period yesterday. And we did. And they got back to 2-1, and deservedly so, to be fair. You know, they put us under a lot of pressure. But we managed it. Managed it well, as it happens, you know. And we got that breakaway goal that we had spoke about. And, you know,
How much did you talk about that game in Osier Park and that FAI defeat?
Probably more than any game, Ronan, that we've ever spoke about, if I'm going to be honest, because we, on the day, Villa won the game 2-0. They deserved to win the game 2-0, but there's a lot of hurt in the camp and a lot of, I suppose, regret that we felt We had a 20-25 minute spell in the first half where we dominated the game. We didn't convert. Then we conceded, and it gave the momentum to Villa, and then Villa went on, and as I say, deservedly won it 2-0. But we just felt that we didn't do ourselves justice that day. And so the focus yesterday was really on, you know, making up for that day and making sure that whatever happened in terms of a result yesterday, that we could walk off the pitch happy with our performance.
Well, John, we did that. Congratulations, a provincial title is not something to be sneered at. There's a lot of clubs in Tipperary might be dominant within Tipperary, but don't go on and win provincial titles. Heartiest congratulations to you and everybody involved, continued success to you. It's a great story.
Thank you very much, Roland.
Thanks indeed. That's Johnny Cremins, manager of St Michael's, joining us there. Barry Ryan joins me on the line just to reflect on that. Barry, how are you?
How are you, Roland?
John was down at training tonight, and down training juveniles. So, you know, no time to rest on his laurels. A really good football man in a really good football club.
Yeah, and look, in terms of being at the game yesterday, it was an incredible game. And I would, firstly, you know, everyone talked afterwards about how good St Michael's were. I was quite bullish on Friday night with Paul and across the line that Michael's would win it, because I didn't feel you'd beat St Michael's twice in one season. And I knew Johnny would learn more from the first game than Villa of Waterford did. The winning of the game yesterday was the way St Michael's set up. Rhys O'Regan played in a 10. Villa of Waterford would have planned all week on Rhys O'Regan being on the wing. And the one thing about Rhys O'Regan, and he's a brilliant player, but Rhys O'Regan gives you very little defensively, and he'll tell you that himself. So Villa Waterford would have planned on bombing forwards down the sides in the transition, but all of a sudden Rhys O'Regan appeared in the 10. Russell played on one side and Jimmy played on the other side, and Russell and Jimmy have a manic work with the ball and without the ball, and Ed Dwyer went into the 9. It was a completely different front four than what Conor Coad would have worked on all week, and they never adapted to that in the opening 25 minutes. And St Michael's probably produced one of the best 45 minutes of football you'll ever see. They could have been 4 or 5 nil up, and sometimes, and even I'm probably guilty of this as well, we pigeonhole St Michael's a little bit about being good off set pieces and all these bits and pieces. St Michael's yesterday were better in every facet of the game than Villa Waterford. They were better on the ball, they played at a higher tempo, they played better football. They're literally, it was a 10 out of 10 45 minutes. It was incredible.
Yeah, did you feel at half time that they hadn't done enough, capitalised enough? Because
yes, my concern was, because I mean, now they weren't just chances, they were glorious chances to go 3, to go 4. And you knew, as Johnny said, Villa Waterford are a top side. They were always going to get a spell. But even this was even more quintessential St Michael's then. So St Michael's are incredible for 45 minutes. But even in the second half, when Villa Waterford came at them and really stormed back into the game, the best chances still went to St Michael's. Ed had 2 great chances, a diving header and a one-on-one with the keeper. Joey Mulcahy didn't get contact when he looked like he was in. So they still created brilliant chances. But in the last 10 minutes, when Brino had to go off injured and the game was there to be won, Villa Waterford were marauding forward and St Michael's were back to the wall. I always feel it. The game is there for who, whatever group of players are willing to go to a place where the other team aren't willing to go. And as always, St Michael's were the ones who were willing to go to that place. Joey Mulcahy headed 2 balls out from under his crossbar. Colin Bargrie was everywhere. He was directing people. He was talking. He was controlling things. Jimmy was buying frees, getting them up the pitch. Just the way they're willing to put the bodies on the line. And like I said, they go to that place that nobody else is willing to go to in the last 10 minutes. And that's St Michael's. And just that's their ability to win these games. But for me, it wasn't just, oh, St Michael's are good at set pieces, St Michael's are organised. St Michael's played better football, had a higher tempo. They got everything right. I would love to have heard Johnny's opinion as to where that performance would rank in the pantheon of St Michael's performances. I saw them in the 2011 Munster Junior Cup final. They beat Pike Rovers 5-1 in Jackman Park. Yesterday was a better performance.
I remember the 2001 match, or 2011 match in Jackman. That's quite a statement.
And Pike were favourites that night.
I do.
Pike won
it,
and won the FAI.
Yeah.
And Michael's won 5-1. Honest to God, yesterday was better. Yesterday was even better.
I just think of the players who've had such a great career with St Michael's. And, you know, like James Walsh had a great career back over the years, many, many years in the green and white stripes. But like Paul Breen, Jimmy Carr have had some career, and even Adrian Walsh in goal.
Magnificent.
I don't know what age he is, but he's the wrong side of 40. I don't think that's a secret. A hell of a performance again.
Oh, look, unbelievable. And it's those guys, they're just, like, you know, there was a bit of talk around the place the week of the game about Jimmy Carr and Perino. Jimmy Carr's goal, I presume a lot of people have seen it now, the clips are up online and stuff like that. If that was in the Premier League, you'd be seeing it on Sky Sports every 5 minutes. The guy is absolutely ridiculous. And then Perino's header, just a towering header again. But I want to single out Colin Bargery as well, because a lot of the time we all talk about Perino, we talk about Jimmy, incredible players. But Colin Bargery is literally, he's bang up there for me. He does all the unseen work, and the way he controlled the last 10 minutes and the advice he was given to the wide players, particularly Ashley Kelleher, about how to close out that game, it was literally an education to watch it on the sideline.
Yeah, really, really great result for Tipperary football again, and like they've won it more times than anyone else, which I think is something that really people need to, when you think about big Limerick sides, you know, you really need to let that sink in, just how dominant.
Yeah, but there's an argument, Ronan, you said it there. There's an argument that it's harder to win than the FAI Junior Cup.
Yeah.
Because you can go through a lot of rounds in the FAI Junior Cup playing average teams around the country in Galway, Donegal, so on. But there's no hiding place in the Munster Junior Cup. Pike Rovers, Ballinanty, Aisling Anacostia, Killarney Athletic, Newmarket Celtic, Avenue, Peak Villa, Clonmel Town. Every round is you know, so difficult.
It is. Do you know, we've only got 30 seconds left. Big win for Celtic against Banches, Clonmel Celtic against Banch Celtic, and Peak putting six past to Malboros. You reckon that game would be interesting, more interesting perhaps?
Yeah, look, huge credit to Big Phillip, because you know there's not a whole lot to play for, and you're going out to a derby game in Burris where it's going to mean maybe a little bit more to them trying to get one up on you, and that is a real performance of just reminding them who the big club in the area is, and I'm impressed by Pete Grillett, the fact that they had the motivation to go and do that.
Yeah, hugely impressive. Barry, we'll talk next week, and thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Ronan.
Barry Ryan joining us there with his reflections on the Munster Junior Cup provincial title for St. Michael's. Big, big win for them. My thanks to everyone who contributed to tonight's show. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll be back with you next Monday night. Till then, good night and good luck.
Online.
On your smartphone.
On your smart speaker.
Play Tip FM.
And on FM across Tipperary. This is Tip FM.